Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Haiti and building community through pie. Nothing brings people and communities together better than pie. Pie contests and fundraisers are sweet ways to transform lives. In the studio, we have Meg Pasca, a Brooklyn beekeeper and an organizer of the third annual Brooklyn Pie Contest. Welcome to Hot Grease, Meg.
Hello.
So let's talk the history of pie socials and contests. What are your thoughts of the evolution or resurgence of pie contests and contests?
I don't know. I feel like it's probably a pretty natural way to sort of get people together and socialize. Pie is a really approachable food. I haven't met a single person that doesn't like pie, so it seems like a really easy way to sort of get people excited about getting together and, you know, raising awareness for a cause. It seemed really logical to me.
So is it me, or have pie contests just been around, or is it that our generation, I don't know how to really define that, have just started doing the pie thing?
Well, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with, I mean, there's this resurgence of people who are just, you know, romanticizing this connection with like rural life and small communities, and it's sort of symbolic of that lifestyle. And I think it makes sense that people sort of glom to that idea of a pie contest as like a small way to get together with the people in your community.
So today is MLK Day. Happy MLK Day to all of our listeners. And in doing my research about pie, I discovered two very unique organizations. One actually is Serve a Dream Pie, which is a yearly pie social held on MLK Day. And I think their website is serveadreampie.org. But basically, a person started in like 1986 just saying, on MLK Day, I'm going to bake pie. I'm going to ask people to come to my house and tell them to bring pie. And then there's another organization called Pie Lab, and I think that they're in Mississippi, and they have a similar mission using pie to bring people together. And all they ask is, you know, to bring the spirit of peace and unity. That's actually for the MLK pie social. So what are your thoughts on these initiatives and what you're doing with the Brooklyn Pie fundraiser?
Well, initially, when we had our first pie contest, it fell on Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, wow.
Because it was actually on National Pie Day. I thought it'd be really exciting. We're going to have a pie contest. We should just have it on National Pie Day. And it happened to fall on Martin Luther King Day. So that was kind of a fun coincidence. But this year, it falls on Saturday, so we're having the event on Saturday. And instead of focusing on Martin Luther King Day, we are shifting gears and sort of focusing on raising funds for a local organization that I personally feel emotionally very connected to as a backyard gardener, called BK Farmyards.
Okay.
And we're sort of taking that direction with
the contest. So what's the complete lowdown on the third annual pie contest? Where are you guys holding the pie competition? And how, if someone wants to enter a pie, does someone just bring the pie? What's the setup?
Okay. The pie contest is this Saturday, January 23rd, at K&M Bar in Williamsburg, and that's on North 8th and Roebling Street, so it's right there on the corner. We are requesting that people email me at beekeeper@brooklynhoney.com just to let me know that you're bringing a pie. It just sort of gives us an idea of how much space we need. But if you decide on the fly that you want to enter a pie, you should just bring it on down. We're definitely not going to turn you away. Just have it there by 6 o'clock. And then we have judges from local restaurants.
Yeah, you have some really cool judges. Please tell us. Do tell.
Well, we have Chef Cody Utzman, who was a contestant on Chopped, and he also has a great restaurant called Papacitos. It's a Mexican street food restaurant. They have great margaritas. I encourage everyone to check it out at some point.
We love margaritas.
Mm-hmm. And then also a friend of his who is also a competitor on Chopped named Diane DeMeo. She'll be there judging. Seamus Mullen, who has a restaurant called Boqueria in Soho and Flatiron. He was also a contestant on The Next Iron Chef and did quite well. He'll be there in attendance. And Matthew Tilden from Scratch Bread will also be there judging.
Oh, wow. We love Scratch Bread. Yeah, Food Curated did the best video on Scratch Bread. So tell me more about the benefit organization BK Farmyards. Stacy is doing a great job, Stacy Murray, the founder of BK Farmyards. But just tell people about the organization that you guys are benefiting.
Well, I hope that at some point you get to have her on the show.
Yeah, Stacy, if you're listening, we need you on the show on Hot Grease.
But essentially, since I don't actually represent BK Farmyards, I'll just say simply that it's their goal to take the unused acreage in New York City and use it as viable farmland for food production in communities, which I think is really outstanding. It's a real shame that in the five boroughs there's so much space that isn't utilized, especially for something so positive and so nourishing to people. So we'd really like to help them out and get their goal accomplished.
So is there a fee to enter the pie contest? Or a person like me, I don't think I'm going to have time to make a pie next Saturday, but I definitely want to come. So what do I need to do?
Well, if you can't make a pie, that's totally fine. We actually want people who just want to eat pie to come as well. Just come with $5 in hand. And with that $5, you get a scorecard. And carte blanche to sort of indulge in all the pie that is there. So after the judging occurs, everyone will be open to enjoy the pie. So
what
were
the winners? What about the winner? Are they getting anything?
Yeah, there will be four prizes. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, five. There'll be first prize for sweet, and first prize for savory, and then runner-up for both categories, and then a People's Choice Award. And there have been prizes given to us from Whisk, New York.
It's oh, wow.
Kitchen store on Bedford Avenue. Let's see. Papacitos has donated a gift certificate for anyone who wants to go and try out those margaritas. They're really good. And then we also have a gift package from the Meat Hook in Brooklyn.
We love the Meat Hook.
Yeah.
I think Tom has been on Patrick's show before. We love the Meat Hook.
Yes.
Ah! We're no, right.
Yeah, Tom's been very generous, and he gave us a little gift package for one of the winners.
So, if you put beekeeping, because you are a beekeeper.
Yes.
If you put beekeeping in Heritage Radio Network search for tags, several shows would appear with beekeeping. We've talked about beekeeping. Mm-hmm. Before we close out, tell us about you and Brooklyn Honey and what you're doing in terms of beekeeping in New York City.
Well, brooklynhoney.com is my website. It was kind of a fluke that I ever even had one this spring. I just started beekeeping this April. I had taken a short course in beekeeping when I lived in Baltimore with the intention of keeping bees there. And then I decided to move here, kind of put that dream on the back burner. Didn't really think it was a possibility, but was surprised when I made some friends with people who were members of the New York Beekeepers Association. So it sort of like rekindled that dream. Right. Started my first hive this April, and I got really lucky, and I had a really great queen, laid lots of eggs, and a really strong colony subsequently. So I ended up with a lot of extra honey, and my friend Cody, who's judging the pie contest, he has a shop called the Brooklyn Standard. They do a lot of in-house made like foods and local produce and things like that. He offered to sell some of it in the shop, and so then I just put together this website to sort of help get the word out.
So will anybody be using your honey for their pies, for the pie contest?
I don't know. I sold out in September.
Oh, wow. Good
I
for
sold
you.
Out, and so the only honey from my colonies that exists are in my personal store. So that's for me to enjoy.
Well, Meg, thank you so much for coming on to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having
me. And talking about the third annual Brooklyn Pie Contest and your adventures in beekeeping in New York City. We definitely want to have you back on to talk more about beekeeping. I know in February, New York City will be voting on making beekeeping legal in New York City. So we want to have you back on. We can talk more about that. But thank you for coming on Hot Grease.
Thanks so much for having me.
After a short break, we'll be coming back to talk Haiti.
You believe, put God first, though.
I'll never forget, no. That the landlord's at my door. I heard them saying, tomorrow, no more. My reward. Hey, pay me now, or leave.
Hell about it, yeah.
He didn't care, no. That we didn't have anything to eat.
What,
can you feel me? Searching for restoration.
Say we need restoration.
Lord, make the church my family. Peace. This is my story. This is my song. And I could sing it all night long. I tell you why.
Ghetto is a part of my religion.
The only thing my eyes can see.
The only thing my eyes can see.
And I tell you there ain't no man.
Ain't no man gon' stop the vision.
Cause I'm a part of the ghetto.
The ghetto is a part of me.
So I fall. Children, cry no more.
Cry no more.
Because heaven's in store, yeah.
Yo, I'm praying for you.
Please,
for me.
Put down your guns, Lord knows. And let us all overcome.
Though your load may be heavy, yeah.
Come on.
Know that the weight makes you strong. Yeah.
Truth, no.
Take my life for example. While I sing my song,
Mr. Kelly, let me help you sing this song right now.
Ghetto is a part of my religion.
Hey, we talk about the ghetto.
It's the only thing my eyes can see.
It's the only thing my eyes can see. Yeah.
Ain't no man gonna stop the vision.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Our second guest today is Basile Jean-Baptiste. He's in the studio and we're going to be talking Haiti. Mr. Baptiste is an agricultural engineer and economic community advisor. He's worked for over 20 years in rural communities in Haiti and lives in Brooklyn, New York. welcome Mr. Baptiste, John Baptiste, to Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me.
First off, I just want to start off by saying I'm sorry about the earthquakes in Haiti. And have you been in contact with your family and friends in Haiti?
Yes, I am very lucky that I didn't lose anybody. I mean, close like brothers, sisters, and son, because I have five brothers and sisters in Haiti, and I have my son that was part of a delegation that our organization sent, and then they left the Central Plateau that same day, and my son was online to board on that flight from Port-au-Prince to Miami when the earthquake hit. And then so he was stuck in the airport until midnight when finally they managed to go to the U.S. Embassy. This is where he spent 3 days before he went to the Dominican Republic.
Wow. So how do you feel about the media coverage of the earthquake in your native country?
But I know that I cannot say that I really follow, because I've been working hard on trying to bring support to people down there, because I'm from the Central Plateau where there was no damage. But now a lot of people are fleeing the city of Port-au-Prince to go. And then since we are like 75 miles from Port-au-Prince, so a lot of people, go there. There's a little hospital is flooded. And then our partner in Haiti, MPP, they have a big center, and this center is being flooded by people. So we're trying to raise funds to help provide with food, shelter, water, and medicine.
So MPP, which is the Papaya Pheasant Movement, and which is your brother's organization. So is that closer, that area, what you're talking about, where you grew up, is that closer to the Dominican Republic?
Yes. We are, I would say, 30 miles from Dominican Republic.
Gotcha. So many people are not aware of the history of Haiti. Some folks don't know that it's the world's oldest black republic and the only nation to gain independence by slave-led rebellion. And once the economic jewel of the Caribbean. What do you say to people who are just learning about Haiti?
This is... this country has a great history, but sometimes, people, just don't know about it, because the only thing that you will hear about Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So this is what you will hear everywhere. But this is a country where this is the first, black country who, really took his independence from a very powerful country that was France at that time. And Haiti was, the slave, they were not given the independence. They fought for it.
Correct.
Yeah. And then they managed to defeat, the strongest army at this time, and then Haiti was making history. Haiti was at a certain time was controlling Dominican Republic also, and I can see that Haiti helped the United States like in the War of Independence. So this is a lot of things that you won't often hear about Haiti.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that all we hear is that it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I had the opportunity to attend the Food Rebellion workshop at Brooklyn Food Conference last year, and you were on the panel, and you talked about the 2008 food riots in Haiti. Please define food riots and the circumstances for the plea for food in Haiti in 2008.
because of the cause of the situation in Haiti. I have to say it's both. We are responsible, you know. I can say that we Haitian, we are responsible of this situation, but also there are big responsibilities also from the because the way that a powerful country like United States, their intervention in Haiti, you know, their policy, it doesn't really help small countries. And if you know about IMF and World Bank, the policy, the way, you know, like the United States, the way they want a small country like this, they say that, okay, you have, there is what they call advantage. It's like let's say that the United States would say, okay, we could produce a food better than you do, so we're going to provide you with food, and then you provide us with labor. So they want a little country like Haiti to be to give the cheap labor so that they can produce what they need to consume in this country, and they are not interested like for you to produce food. They said that okay, you are better in producing maybe foods, and you have labels, and then you have we can build big factories so that people can get a job, and then they can buy food from us. But this is not what the people want. They want to be self-sufficient. You know, they are working, they are struggling for food sovereignty. They want to produce their own food, and which is better for health also. And this is why this program Seeds for Haiti that we have, that you can see on the website seedsforhaiti.org. So what we want to do is to produce, to help people produce their own seeds. They don't have to buy seeds from GMO, from Monsanto in the U.S. So this is the kind of things that we want. We are working hard to support in Haiti.
We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with more about your organization, Seeds for Haiti. So after a short break, we'll be back with more Bazelle Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you.
Once a year, we celebrate Washington and Lincoln on their birthday. So now our third name is added to the list of an apiece drum. Major Justice. Now, every January on the third Monday, we pay homage to the man who paved the way for freedom, justice, and equality to make the world a better place for you.
Happy, it's a holiday.
It's a gathering
for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Stop, you can't try to love somebody.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. We're continuing our conversation with Balise Jean-Baptiste. Mr. Jean-Baptiste is founder of Seeds for Haiti campaign and the president of Bazoun Zim Education and Development Fund. We just heard the King Holiday song, I think, that came out in the 80s, Mr. John Baptiste. Do you remember that song?
Yes, yes.
So how are you inspired by Dr. King when you're doing your work to prevent famine in Haiti and to create seed banks for Haitian farmers?
You know, I think Dr. King was what he was doing is, you know, was fighting. And he was a big, great leader. He was fighting, you know, for black people. But I would say that for people like who are suffering, so that they can for freedom. So this is a kind of struggle that you know that Haitian people, you know, are having at this time. Because it's not it's for all kind of freedom. It's for exactly. Economic freedom. It's for political freedom. It's like now we, you know, you have some force that are oppressing the country, but we are the struggle that we are leaning. I think we can be inspired by Dr. King.
So you launched Seeds for Haiti last year. But you've been doing work with your brother's organization, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, is it, you pronounce it Papaya
yeah.
Pheasant Movement?
Yeah, it's called MPP. It's well known all over the country as MPP. Even here, MPP is Papaya Pheasant Movement. It can be considered like a peasant union. It's like a farmers union. But also they have a lot of programs. Not only to improve, to increase production, but also a lot of education so that people can not only produce what they need, but also control the production and also a fighting for social change in the countryside. So I've been working... this is where I spent all my life after when I graduated from university. I went to work from there with the person where I came from. So I spent all my my career working with the peasants.
So out of that work, you came up with the campaign Seeds for Haiti. What were some of your accomplishments? Because you started that organization because of the four hurricanes that hit Haiti in 2008. So what have you accomplished since the start?
But we managed to, since we started, we raised funds that we send to Haiti, and we help over 300 families, you know, get seeds, local seeds, you know, so that they can grow food. And then also we're building this organization. We send a delegation to Haiti. As a matter of fact, we send a delegation of 10 people, you know, from New York City area to Haiti, and they left New York on January 7th, and they were supposed to come. I mean, they were supposed to come back from Hinge from MPP on. January 12th, the day of the earthquake. So those people, they were still part of five of them are still in Port-au-Prince. So, but what we're doing is not only you know, raise funds, but also build awareness about you know, the struggle of the peasant, the struggle of the Haitian people, the grassroots organization, so that you know, people can understand what they're doing and they can support them.
Can you talk a little bit more about the whole model of the Seeds for Haiti? It's more so like a seed bank loaning program. It's not just giving people seeds, but it's a bank where people loan seeds.
Yeah. You know, the idea is to provide seeds. It's like to loan the seeds to the peasants, so they would grow food, and then when they in the harvest time, when they harvest the seeds, the crop, and then they will return what they have get what they have the loan that they got, and then they return it, and then you have more seeds so that you can loan to peasants. So not only you try to help them to improve the quality of the seeds, because you teach them how to produce better seeds, and then but what we want to do later on when we have enough funds is to have a garden where we're going to improve the seeds, so we have technicians who can work to produce seeds that so that they can sell. Instead of buying seeds from another country, we can produce our own seeds that we can keep on improving every year, and so that they can the person can produce more, and they can be can reach what we call a food sovereignty.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We talk a lot on Heritage Radio Network about Arc of Taste at seeds. Haitian farmers cannot use American seeds, or not cannot use. They don't work well in Haitian soil and the environment because of the deforestation in Haiti. Am I correct, or am I wrong?
No, there are several reasons. If you understand the way, agriculture, let's say that to produce the food, you need a good soil. That means you need a good soil, and then you need water. When I say good soil, physical soil, but we need elements to have fertilizer in the soils, and you need water. And then later on, you will need things you would need also pesticide, to prevent insect from damaging the crop. But let's say in Haiti, the way they produce it, brand, they are resistant to those. Let's say if I buy seeds from the United States, let's say corn. Mm-hmm. And I go and plant it in my area, what is going to happen? This kind of seeds, they need more water to produce. They need a better soil, and then they will be very easily attacked by the insects. But and then also, if you don't have irrigation, you don't have pesticide, you don't have fertilizer like a chemical fertilizer, you're not going to produce anything, because the environment for this kind of seeds, in order to produce better, you need a lot of things. It's mm-hmm. not just the quality of the seeds, but you need a lot of things that we don't have in Haiti. But the kind of seed that's been producing for hundreds of years in Haiti, they are more adapted, and then the insect cannot attack them, so that even with insect they can produce. Even when it's dry, they can still produce. But we cannot do it with the kind of seed that coming from the United States.
Oh, we have a live call-in. Caller, what's your question?
Hey there, Nicole.
Hello.
I'm actually just calling because I would like to know what the best charity to donate to in this time would be.
Well, definitely Mr. John Baptiste is on the air, and he's talking about his organization, Seeds for Haiti. They were doing work previous to the hurricane, and he is going to give out his website. He does have some information on the front page of his website about his work, and that was my next question to you. What are your next steps for Seeds for Haiti in terms of the earthquake and people giving funds to your organization?
Okay, now what we're trying to do, most of the areas outside of Port-au-Prince, except Jacmel and the south, were not hit by the earthquake. So now people are moving, because Port-au-Prince is becoming a hell. So people are moving from the city of Port-au-Prince to outside, to my city, Hench, which is 75 miles from Port-au-Prince. And then, but we have a small hospital there. It's flooded. There are too many people there. And then my organization in Haiti called MPP, where I used to worker for over 20 years. They have a training center. This training center is transformed into a shelter to receive people in jail from Port-au-Prince, and then people who, you know, don't have a place to stay. So now we're trying. We have the first strategy is we have a short-term relief now program where we're trying to raise funds to provide with food, shelter, water, and medicine. So if people go to our website, which is seedsforhaiti.org, seedsforhaiti.org, they can make a donation. And then that donation will go straight, you know, to those shelters to help people who are suffering now in Port-au-Prince, who want to find a place to stay and to find something to eat, and then to find medical care.
Thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. Definitely, again, we'll put on our website and my personal website and all of my social media avenues information about Seeds for Haiti. And I encourage people, if you want to read more about Mr. John Baptiste's work, Brooklyn Food Coalition or BrooklynFoodConference.org has his full speech from the Full Rebellion Workshop, as well as several supporting articles and documents about his organization. But I encourage you to go to seedsforhaiti.org. I do plan here at Hot Grease to continue to raise funds for Seeds for Haiti. And you guys will hear all the information about how we plan to do that, or how I plan to do that here, and any other things that we're going to do here on Heritage Radio Network. Actually, we have Patrick Martins, the genius and the brains behind Heritage Radio Network. He wants to talk a little bit about the network and Haiti.
Well, I mean, in fact, I wanted to ask you almost on air, like, what do you think, you know, we could do? I think perhaps as a network, it's important that we have all of our shows cover this issue and give the website. But I just want people to know that that's a very important issue for this network. And as a media source, I mean, we have 500 listeners a day. You know, it's important that those people give, because ultimately giving money, doing something active is the best way to solve the problem. So anyway.
But yeah, this is, I think, now what we are we're talking about a very, very short-term relief. And short-term relief let's say that in everybody, they are encouraging people to leave the city of Port-au-Prince because they are afraid all kind of disease that, you know, that can follow after that, because of the kind of water they are drinking. There are no food. There are all kind of problems in Port-au-Prince. The hospitals are flooded. So now the idea is for people to go. People are trying to go, to leave the city, to go anywhere. So this is why a place like Hinche, where it's less than 2 hours from Port-au-Prince. So it's a lot of people are going there. And then, it's like in that area, everything is, the focus is on Port-au-Prince. But when a lot of people are moving to those areas, and they get there, there are no hospital. You know, you have a few doctors. Like in my organization, you have just one doctor and one nurse, and then a lot of people. And there's no food, and also for transportation, because now gas is very expensive, and they are paying like, I don't know, maybe 20 US dollars for a gallon of gas. You cannot find it.
Wow.
So with this situation, we really, people are going to be starving in those cities if we cannot provide with some food, and then, well, water is not a big deal, but we're going to provide with food and then medical supply. And then we're trying to get some doctors to go in this area, because everybody is going to be in Port-au-Prince now. But it's good to go to those areas where now a lot of people are going. And then some people, some people die on their way to Hinche because they're trying to reach a hospital. And when they get to the hospital, there are not enough room in the hospital. So we have some centers where we need to have doctors and medical supply to help those people.
And, you know, I think that that speaks to the point I got from it is that, you know, it's not a fashionable a thing that's trendy. You know, this is a long-term problem.
Exactly.
That's going to, people have to put their effort and energy into this over a long period of time, and they can't do something once and then think it's taken care of. This is going to be a many-year thing. And so certainly we at the network will be dealing with this issue for more than just a few weeks or months. And I think that's a point well taken. It's going to take a long time. A lot of the problems haven't even occurred yet. Not everyone has gotten to these other outskirt places.
So. Again, all of our listeners, please check out seedsforhaiti.org if you want to donate to Mr. John Baptiste's organization. They're doing, again, as he said, some very short-term, quick things to get resources to folks in Haiti. And keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll have more details about what we plan on doing here. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled. A maker, a drummer, and then